Are you all ready to be totally accomplished white magicians today? Well, just get in there and do some stuff.
Right.
I see you've learned well. Yep.
Let's get in there and do some magic. Right.
We will steady the breath and achieve outer quiet. Settle in and quiet the outer form using the breath to do that. And in your own way, pull back and disidentify from every one of your personality instruments until you find yourself as the observer. Until we begin to realize that all familiar things are only familiar in this incarnation, as they were other things familiar in other incarnations, but in fact, in the inner world, the observer sees all of them melt away. The observer finds itself as something other than anything that is commonly thought, felt, acted upon. We begin to affirm ourselves as the consciousness, and we try to see what it would be like to be the soul, the consciousness, on its own plane of experience. we want to find ourselves in a world in which light is a great reality, spiritual love is a great reality, spiritual will and power are great realities. Can we let all other things go? And can we find ourselves in this world, the world just described, right here and right now? We always want to know that the world we seek is always right here and right now. This is the world shared by all the elder brothers. Hierarchy lives in this world all the time and beyond. And they too, from the energy standpoint, are right here and right now. Try to get the sense that we are sharing presence with the members of the hierarchy. We want to live our lives in this presence as true cooperators with those who have achieved consciousness of the fifth or spiritual kingdom. Now we know that on the higher mental plane and beyond, the solar angel ego is attempting to impress us with certain currents of energy, certain ideas, which are to be carried through into manifestation. So aware of this idea, of this thought, let us attempt to be open to the note of the idea with which our solar angel is at this time in our life attempting to impress its reflection, its shadow man. What is the note of that which is attempting to come through? Solar angel sounds its note from the higher mental plane, and it is our task to attune with that note. What are we registering as we attempt this attunement? Try to get it as clear as one can. Probably the solar angel has been attempting to get through to us for a long time. We with this note and with the variations on this note. Now it is our task to receive this impression actually within the brain consciousness and to begin to build, to sound a second note. The sacred word. And as we sound this note, to remain true to the impression of the ego's note, as we begin to see, to visualize, to understand the implications of the ego's note. The higher ego. So we will very quietly and almost by second nature, not concentrating upon it, quietly sound repeatedly the sacred word. This can go on for a while. And your main concentration will be on the mental plane. You'll be attempting to stay en rapport with this impression from the solar angel as with the sacred word very quietly sounded. You build in mental matter. You visualize, you see the implications of what the note of the ego would look like if it were worked out into the three worlds. Thank you. And now you can be the observer and take note of how sound, light, color, vibration is building a form which can work out as part of a plan to bring the ego's note into consistently fuller expression. Take note of what you are building. It's just the beginning of the process. That note is always sounding, but our approximation of it will grow in detail, in accurate representation. We have to return to it over and again. Now, within this point of light, this thought form, reflecting the ego's note and taking shape on the lower mental plane, try to identify at least one little part of it that can be part of a beneficent plan, a good plan, which lines up with the ego's note, which lines up with good motive on your part, selfless motive on your part, pure motive, helpful motive. Identify clearly at least one part of this growing thought form that fulfills those conditions. And as you look at that little part, this little aspect of the plan, with your inner eye, feel it getting clearer. And more vital. Now breathe in and hold your thought form up to the animating light of the ego. And imagine the note of the ego, its intention, vitalizing this little specific aspect of the plan which you are formulating at this time. As you breathe in, you are holding the little thought form up to the downflow of soul light, sound, vibration, its note. And we see the higher purpose that the ego is trying to impress us with as working out in part through this one little aspect of the plan. Now, we know that we do not know the words of power. But we know that our thoughts can be used by the hierarchy made available to them. So what we're going to do is breathe forth our little thought form on the sound of the Om. And as we do so, we will have the idea that we are offering it up to the hierarchy to use as they wish. To render it effective if they wish. To merge it with other similar thoughts, creating a powerful stream of positive energy if they wish. And again, we will, as we send it forth and offer it to them, we will repeat the sound of the Om. First we'll take a deep breath, and I'll signal that, and hold up the thought form to the solar angel, and then breathe it forth into the world on behalf of the hierarchy and for their use, and with completely selfless, detached motive. And so we take a breath and hold it up. And send it forth. Process when we wish. We can reattune with the major note of the ego. We can build in response to it on the mental plane. We can make available certain clear parts of our building for the use of the brothers as they see fit. We can continue to build clearly in line with the soul impression. And gradually, as we learn more, we can take this down into the lower vehicles in alignment with the full white magical process. But patiently, patiently. For now, the building in alignment with the sensed egoic impression. The solar angel collects himself, scatters not his force, but in meditation deep, communicates with his reflection. When the shadow hath responded in meditation deep, the work proceedeth. The lower light is thrown upward. The greater light illuminates the three, and the work of the four proceedeth. The energy circulates. The point of light, the product of the labors of the four, waxeth and groweth. The man breathes deeply. He concentrates his thought form. He concentrates his energy and drives the thought form from him. Sound, light, vibration, and the form blend and merge, and thus the work is one. It proceedeth under the law, and naught can hinder now the work from going forward. The man breathes deeply, he concentrates his forces, and drives the thought form from him. Want to see to the condition of the waters of the astral plane. We want to bring the heart energy into the picture so that the Creator is safe in the creating, and we want to use the mind's eye at first to strengthen this thought form. Eventually, we want to take this out of the control of the lower devas. The devas of the lower four feel the force. When the eye opens, the inner eye, they are driven forth and lose their master. So very carefully, with pure motive, with complete control of the lower elementals, in clear alignment with the true white magician who is the solar angel, we continue to learn to work, to be a white creator on the inner planes, and bring through the thought forms of solution, magically assisting the difficult condition in which humanity finds itself. learning how to work with the power of thought as well as through practical outer action. In this way, the good will emerge occultly, and additional powers will be brought to bear to change the world's situation. So holding the egoic alignment, realizing ourselves to be students of the white magical process as disciples, with good intention, and realizing the white magical power of the great invocation, we sound it together. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of man, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, well, obviously not all of the steps. I'm sorry, I didn't remember rule two properly. Until its light recedes, its fire grows dim, then shall the second sound go forth. But we've been using the second sound, so we didn't lose that much in it. A little experiment. Obviously, it takes, you know, the soul is working on a major thought form the whole life long. But this thought form has aspects to it in time and space and in different cycles. It's like every drama has a super objective in it and many lesser objectives. So it's possible to form little facets of the general thought form, you know, constantly working in our life to attune with the general thought form, which means, what is our purpose? This is the life purpose of the incarnation. And, you know, you can return to that every day and try to deepen that sense of purpose. On the other hand, from that purpose will emerge aspects of a planet, your own little planet, which has to correlate with a larger purpose, which is part of a larger planet, which is part of a larger purpose, you know, purpose plan, and so forth. So ideas may arise, or thoughts may emerge, which can be enacted. And I think, you know, we've all seen that we don't have the magical words, but we have the right motive. We can have a decent condition of the waters. We can have the power to brood over our little thought form in the mind's eye. And we can have the power to breathe forth the thought form for the use of the greater ones, who can do everything they need to do with such thought forms, including deal with the astral plane, the etheric plane, the dense physical plane, and so forth. So that's one little part of the task which we can practice without getting into trouble and sharpen what goes on in the mind's eye, sharpen its fidelity to the egoic note. The most important thing is to get a sense of the egoic note, mm-hmm. and to be more accurately impressed by it day by day, month by month, year by year. And then out of that will grow many secondary configurations which can be sent forth for use. Now, naturally, I'd like you to say a few things about this, but I want to avoid extremely long reports.
Michael, I was thinking that could the first thing be that we look the chart?
Which chart?
When we were oming, I didn't look when we started, but when we were oming forth, it was 8:38, maybe 20, because when I caught this idea that I have to look the timer, it was 31, and I think it was 1 hour before. Because we all were birthing something forth.
Okay, I see what you mean. Well, okay, yeah, it's good. I don't want to get sidetracked with it, but we can. Fortunately, we know the time and we can come to it. Okay, we can come to it. I guess the you know, obviously we're just learning how to do these things. And we have to work out a method of doing that. I'm not going to put that up right now. Mm-hmm. But I will a little later. There's nothing that I can say that is unique about it, except Saturn is very high in Libra. And we're in a new moon period. And we're dealing with occultism in deep matters. I just want to keep to the moment for any realization of principle or practice that emerged for you as we go. And remember what I said, we're not going to have real long dilations, okay?
Let me try very well. Just three short points. I realized, for me, that I always hear this sound in my ears. I've just visited this tinnitus or something. And I thought, wait, this is a pretty consistent sound, so let me get a fish bite.
Did you get it?
No. But I got it. I'm going to. Second thing is, just before you said something, no, the note changed. So I wrote down, what's the sound? I mean, what's the pitch now? So note had to do with pitch for me. So I thought, my gosh, this is following the meditation. These notes sound different.
That's interesting.
Second point is, what came up for me was, the general image was life in Aquarius, kind of use a general phrase, and the main image was of children, the soul flower and children bursting forth. I could elaborate much more, but just children running around, happy, good atmosphere, you know, playing, learning. And all the stuff that goes with this, with parents, communities, and regions, and bioregions, and, you know, all over the globe. So it's very, very clear kind of the outline here. And the last point I could say was, once again, I got the difference between, you know, I've read about manifestation processes. There's been some good books written on this, and the light magic process. You said, in so many words to me anyway, the light magic process is about creating thought forms of solution that the hierarchy is trying to convey to us for the present crises we're going through. I thought, yes.
Yeah.
Foundation.
Thought forms of solution, yeah.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. And what we can't, others can. There's a co-creatorship going on here. I think the such an attunement with the note of the ego. I'm sorry, my computer is just crashing here. Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that. Now, you know, I'm interested in, obviously it's an extension. What we're trying to do is take what we studied for the last 4 days and look at those parts that we can really deal with. and not, you know, venture into what we cannot deal with. Though I would say this, you know, that when you're thinking about protecting yourself, once this thought form begins to appropriate its astral sheath, and obviously we didn't have time for even imagining that, a very affirmative heart thought, visualizing the entire tier of the second tier of the egoic lotus, and pronouncing through one's throat center, either audibly or inaudibly, a mantra dealing with the loving use of that which is created, will be a form of protection. Not the kind of protection DK is speaking of, but love protects from obsession and invasion and those kinds of things. So there are various ways that we can imitate or reflect the real thing. The real thing is not given to us, but we know enough about it to say certain things to ourselves while we're doing it. Basically, all we're doing is attuning, building, and projecting with positivity on the sacred word. It's very simple in some ways. And then the other details will fill in. Okay, so any other brief summaries? Yes.
And the great invocation.
Following all of this.
As we said it today, all of a sudden I clearly heard the phrase, the point of light within the mind of God. And is that not in
a way? Uh-huh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, very interesting.
So
the point of light.
It is a literally a magical formula we've been studying here. And just in terms of service, I see that this is going to be an activity year for me in accepting the calls to activity. Accepting the calls to activity becomes formal. It's kind of like the planning phases are done, and this is going to be kind of like bring about the next phase of activity for me.
Well, this is an aspect of human planning. You know, we're told, is it the second hint, that human planning is the first sign that the will aspect is now being released and is coming into power. Good. Okay. Other brief summaries of process. I'm trying to obviously control this because we know what we have to go through still.
What I found remarkable was the note of the soul was clear and maybe soothing is the right word, but to bring the lower vehicles brought a great dissonance. So I listened, and then it began to even out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The thought form came, it had to do with using music in the world. And I've been involved in this very exquisite witness to the sufferings of humanity and how music can be used to teach.
Yeah. I think it can really attune us to the soul note, you know. Music is a great integrating and harmonizing force. And like it was being said yesterday, there always will be resistance from the lower vehicles, you know, when the soul note is heard and you try to build in accordance with it, there's stuff in those vehicles that does not want to go that way. But remember, our ongoing second sound, then shall the second sound go forth, is helping that attunement. And remember, maybe I should have said it, you know, I couldn't think of everything, unfortunately, but the idea of swelling the note of the soul. See, so that's the om is to be used to swell the note and to strengthen it, reinforce it. And in that increasing power of the note, the building process may go forward easier. We're in a way dealing with the easiest part of the whole process. The mental part is something we can handle. The other parts require so much caution and science and, you know, just real care. Otherwise, your thought form is destroyed, you are destroyed, all kinds of things can happen on the way down. But, you know, I just kept it on the mental level here where we can do something. Yeah. Other brief summaries or realizations?
Well, kind of where it came from, you was working with the transference of the energies from the lower center to the higher center, and how that kind of was a prerequisite for the magical process, and how that was something to do deeper in my own vehicle, and how that was probably, you know, good for disciples in general. I mean, that's something, of course, that we need to get more into.
Uh-huh. I think let's make sure that we really are in good soul alignment. You know, this seems to be the fundamental thing. Are we hearing or feeling or whatever the note of the ego? Because the ego is the creator who's trying to do something, the solar angel ego. When I'm trying to do something, and are we really getting it? Are we registering it? And are we in the flow of what it is trying to impress us with? And then if we're in that flow, then a lot of what we can do following that, whatever visualizations, manipulations, clarifications, they'll all be protected. They'll all be representative of the ego's flow. And we will have success. But I guess what I want to say is if we're not in the flow and we start creating, then what we create will not be the servant or the agent of the true white magician who is on the higher mental plane. So our very first care is to make sure we're hearing that note. Flanders, you had a
comment. I think that's a very good idea to keep with us all the time. And every one of us has a different symbol or experience when we are truly holding in the light of the soul. For me, it's light. I mean, I can actually see and feel that light come down. And interestingly enough, as I held the idea in my mind for a product or a thing that I wish to create, as I held it very steady, other thoughts came in, which were kind of startling, but they came in like it was a download almost.
And that's part of the building. He said the myriads gather on this glowing warmth, you know, and then they're going to be built into place. The idea is going to be fleshed out. So on the horizontal plane, and maybe additional material coming down to help arrange them. This is the way thought forms arise according to a sanctioned method. Not just grab something and go with it, or this came in my mind, something that we really nurture. It's kind of a, in a way, it's a bit of a Virgo process. You know, you're germinating this on the mental plane. Okay, good. Any other? Yes?
Michael, last night I was watching television, a science program, and they were showing thousands and thousands and all kinds of thousands of viruses on the planet and how powerful and strong they are. Just now in my meditation, I saw illuminated light, greenish yellow, a light, and they said that thought forms are even much more powerful than any virus that was ever on the planet. And they live, they exist, that if we send out a thought form, it exists and can germinate and live. It kept showing this electric light.
And then
the other thing, which I really don't understand, is I saw, kept seeing a symbol flowing down of Leo, and it was an attachment to Earth. Leo sending light into and over the Earth. And I don't know what that has bearing for all of us.
Well, of course, it can probably mean many things, but I will say this, that we're all of us interested in the one fundamental school and how it can illuminate humanity gradually from within. And Leo does confer the will to illumine. So it's a very strong shambolic power. And I think a lot of us are working, you know, Leo is the light of the soul. Leo is a point of light which emerges from all the dim light, and Leo is the will to illumine of Shambhala. So we're just babies in the use of the power of thought. And I think we should just be very grateful that we're being guided very cautiously in its correct use according to the ancient tradition by, in this case, someone who is extremely adept at this process.
But green is not normally associated with
Leo,
is it?
No. The green is the healing, one of the major healing energies. And I was thinking about the physicians who work with the green devas. There's two green devas, and they advise doctors, you know, maybe unknown to the doctors, about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, the green is not Leo per se, but the ideas can be related. Yes. Yes. Any other essentializations? Yeah.
You know how white noise, when there's a tone in a room or some machine is running, you forget about it.
Yeah.
You don't hear it anymore.
Yeah.
And now, I have tinnitus.
Okay, well, just stay tuned and keep your pitch right handy.
Yeah.
He's got ringing in his ear.
All right, so
listen
to what
you
said.
Tinnitus. Okay, that's good. There should be something emerging from this class at least.
Well, we have been talking about these sounds now, and I have a very strange experience. I have never had this kind of thing. There were coming two ohms on the, like, within each other, that in my left ear, I don't know how to describe it. So I'm ohming, but then there is this, I even look at who is ohming here. So it was like from my left ear was a, like a, through the door, I'm hearing. And then I'm realizing, gosh, it is me orming there, down, and I was there in that bigger space. But that was about the sound, but I got this impression of Maitreya's money. And like you, Glenda, you were saying about this, I got so many things in that thing, create a website, to put forward the thing, Maitreya's money, it will be marked, everyone who has the money in their hand, of course this is an old practice to bless the money, but to commit oneself in that thought building, thought form building, to give that money purposefully, consciously to some project, because I was thinking of working with the idea of the Bank of Christ. We cannot put that in this system. There would come too much chaos, so we can build that unseen Bank of Christ everywhere on this planet. Millions of disciples, millions, thousands of millions of disciples working consciously in their mind, even $1 a day or 50 cents, 1 cent a day, committee putting in his work.
Wow. That's really amazing. I'll tell you what came to me. I wasn't going to say anything, but since you said that, you know, money for this work's always been something that interested me. And, you know, after these discussions we've had about that movie and the thing you got showed and whatever, you know, you get the same feeling that within the current system, if you get into it and you're a part of it, it's not going to work because there's just too much control there.
Yeah.
But so this HR came to me. HR was that, and it was suddenly like hierarchical reserve. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. How does that work? You know, how the Federal Reserve works. So now there's things connected to it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ponder on this.
There's a seed. There's a real seed there. There's a seed.
And I could maybe save my Maitreya's money.
Okay. So there's a note sounding. A seed is arising from within the stream of that note, and that seed has to be constantly revisited and germinate. You can produce many, many powerful thought forms out of one germane seed that is in line with the ego's note. So, okay, well, the rest then is to do it. The Sabian symbol that arose for the time that Tuya gave when we were oming it was our people cutting through ice for summer use.
Wow.
So, you know, it's the idea of it's winter, we can get the ice. Summer's coming, there won't be any ice, and we can do it now. So we're having a lot of forethought about preparing for the future. And so it has everything to do with planning, with what we can do now for what can happen, what must happen later. And as I say, you know, there's many things in this chart, but we can't do too much with that. The Saturn in Libra is right up at the top, of course. And that's one thing we've been trying to do these days, is figure out what is the law with respect to all that we're doing. Lawful creativity. And we've been dealing very much also with the violations of the law. And we've been dealing as well with the idea that whenever there is a withering of the law and the uprising of lawlessness on all sides, I manifest myself from age to age. It's Maitreya coming. And we know of Libra, law, sex, and money, and there's Saturn right up at the top of the chart, and here are these ideas about the money aspect of it and the law aspect. So I think we can already begin to feel the effect of Saturn and Libra, frankly, and it's working out in this class. I know there's much more to say, but I know how today's going to go, so I would just like to make sure that we can finish the rule we're working on and maybe get into the next one, if possible.
Will you at least tell us the rising of the medicine?
It was 19 Sag.
Sag?
Yeah. It was in the Aries partition. Sagittarius.
The
data's
weren't too more
than small
sketch
7 or 2, I'd love to hear. Well, he's there. Okay. Brief essentialization, but I don't wanna overextend it. Yeah. If people didn't volunteer, then you're much more the Democrat than I am. I gotta forge ahead here. It's okay with you.
Since you put forth the meditation, it's your fault. So you better to bless this moment. There were so many things put magically in place, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not going to hear about this.
We talk about why.
I'm kind of wondering what that 29th degree of Scorpio is. Halloween gesture, I love it.
What is that?
The Halloween gesture.
What was that?
All right. Okay, so we now come to sound three things. We're going to discuss in greater detail the three things engaged the solar angel before the sheath created passes downward. We started on this. The condition of the waters, the safety of the one who thus creates, and steady contemplation. Thus are the heart, the throat, and the eye alive for triple service. And now we did the cosmic fire part of it yesterday. And now we go into the section in white magic.
Okay.
The fifth rule touches upon three factors which engage the attention of the creating agent before the physical form emerges into view on the exterior plane. Now, the word agent is very important. You, the white magician, are the creating agent. Of what are you the agent? You're the agent of the creating ego on the higher mental plane. An agent is someone who is delegated, who is sent forth into another place or dimension in order to represent the king, the authority, the true creator. You are the creating agent, but the true creator is up on the higher mental plane, always at this stage of evolution, in a concentrated state of mind, brooding over its form and forcing and driving and compelling its form forward. So that finally, when we are the initiate, it's the victory of the solar angel and not our own victory, we are told. On the other hand, we're told we are already the initiate. In what way are we the initiate? We are the monad. So we have the condition of the waters that connects with the heart, the safety of the one who thus creates connects with the throat, and steady contemplation connects with the eye. We will deal briefly with these three, and then we will consider the three factors which the disciple needs to relate if he ever aims to become an active and potent cooperator with hierarchy. That's what we're after here. We know there's immense power in hierarchy. And we're choosing the occult path, which means we're using certain laws and rules which are not available consciously to many excellent creators in the world, who maybe are even motivated better than we are and more effective. But we're going to attempt to use occult power to further our good motives. That's a specialized line of development. It's filled with a degree of danger, as we have seen, and it's a specialized path. It's hard for us to compare ourselves to effective people in the outer world, because we're trying a method of inward effectiveness accompanying whatever we can do in the outer world. It's a double task, and a bit of a harrowing one, really, if we were to know what's involved. Potent cooperator with hierarchy, active and potent. These are the eye, the heart, and the throat. The interpretation and significance of these rules can be carried forward along several lines. For our purposes, the one followed will be that relating to the disciple and his work. Obviously, we can apply them to greater macrocosms. And we'll deal with his training in the magical work of the ego, as that ego occupies and employs a physical form. So really, behind it all, the ego is trying to engage in magical work, and we are trying to participate as an agent in that work. Of the ego. We are participating. Okay. It's such a responsibility, if you really think of it. And it's such an interior matter, you know, you're not running around the world saying, hey, I'm doing white magic, you know. That would be futile. And you know, you'll know when you get it inside yourself, when things are really clear and really illumined, and you get that sense of resonance between what you are creating and what is intended. It's not a matter for exterior display. In groups like this, we can discuss it. But it's a very internal process for each of us. Yeah?
Michael, didn't we read sometime earlier that every member of the hierarchy is a white magician?
Mm-hmm. Probably did, along with every member is an esoteric psychologist.
And a healer, too.
And a healer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, as we get close to the hierarchy, the synthesis of our separate studies starts to emerge. We become psychologists, healers, white magicians, they all start converging. That's the beautiful synthesis of knowledge, and obviously our rheological, astrological studies. That's actually, you know, what I have in mind. We all have our different takes on, those of us who are participating in the Maury Federation, we all have our different takes on it. But to me, it's the synthesis of occult knowledge put into practice. The coming together of the many separate disciplines, you know, well, I'm in occultism and I'm interested in healing. Well, I'm interested in psychology. Well, I'm interested in astrology. And my vision is to see people rising toward the hierarchy and able to put all these things together in the way that Master DK has them together in his own consciousness. And I don't think it's out of the question. I think that as the years go by, that fusing and blending will begin to occur. We'll be empowered in that way. Yeah.
But also there is a specialization within the hierarchy, isn't it, right? In certain fields, like DK is an expert on cycles and all kinds of things, and
solar
hierarchy turns to him when there's a question.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, you know, I'm just talking about sort of within his range.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not all going to become crack economists and political leaders, and, you know, there are these different lines. Nor, you know, and DK himself says, I will turn to a fifth ray master if I need this information. I can't deal with it right now. But even within his particular universe of thought, there's certainly room for synthesis. And it's a very wide universe of thought. I think it's a blend, as I told you, of the third ray and the second ray. And I think that he needs agents.
I was thinking about someone like Dave Rudyard. Is he synthetic, or is he holistic, or is he a musician, an astrologer?
Well, I think he's an example of Dane Rudyard. To me, a second ray soul and a fourth ray personality and a third ray mind. That's what, you know, just happened to think so.
I think so.
You know, none of us can pontificate on this, what do we know, but he gives all the earmarks. People said of him, to DK, why isn't Dane Rudyard in these groups? And the answer came, because he's already a world disciple. And a world disciple is a third degree. Okay. These teachings are intended to be practical. They will emphasize the training and discipline of the disciple. And scattered throughout will be found those hints and esoteric suggestions which, when followed, will lead the aspirant on to experiment and to experience of truth. Notice that in one phrase you're a disciple, in the next phrase you're an aspirant, and in fact you are both, right? So we are experimenting, and perhaps as a result of that the experience of truth will come to us. Those who are not true aspirants of the kind that DK is trained, that's his job, will fail to recognize the hints and will thus be preserved from danger and premature experience. Let us therefore take up the three factors which engage our attention, and let us consider them from the standpoint of the human being who is creating thought forms. This is the most practical level, right? Not what the solar logos is doing. And not primarily from the standpoint of a solar creator or of an ego. Actually, an ego, a solar angel, is a solar creator. Is a solar creator preparing to take incarnation through the medium of form. In other words, we're not taking the incarnational process. Everything we say could apply to an ego preparing to take incarnation and creating its thought form, man. But he's not going to deal with that right now. He's just saying, okay, you're already created, you're already in incarnation. How will you become a secondary creator who is an agent of the greater creator who is the soul within you? How are you going to do that? Two collateral thoughts will be of value here. One is that the process of creating thought forms is part of the work done by every aspirant in the daily meditation process. Now, obviously, we recognize that, and unless we're, you know, zoning out into some sort of meditation without seed, some identificatory meditation where thought forms are not the issue, we recognize that this is generally the case. So the work of creating thought forms is part of the work done by every aspirant in the daily meditation process. If the student would remember every time he sits down to his... Why? How did that happen? I'm trying to remind myself of something here, I think.
This seems to be important.
Good observation. Sit down to his morning meditation. He is learning to build and vitalize thought forms. If he would remember that, that he's learning to build and vitalize thought forms, his work might assume greater interest instead of, oh, I've got to meditate again. This tendency of most aspirants is to be, the tendency of most aspirants is to be occupied with their deficiencies in the work of meditation and their inability to control their minds, whereas both those aspects of their endeavor would be aided if they were to be occupied by the profoundly engrossing work of thought form building. He's speaking like a good Tibetan here, isn't he? Just like a Tibetan. Because that's a lot of what they do. And I think if we got very, very good at this, I mean, I think they are experts in thought form building. And, you know, they're not always in conversation with everybody, you know. They're, contrary to what many people believe, the masters are not always whispering specifics in your ear. But they do create thought forms to which we respond. Even the 12 signs of the zodiac are said to be 12 well-nurtured thought forms on high levels to which all human beings can respond, and which I think adapt the energy coming from the zodiacal constellations. They're like transformers. They're like receptors and methods of beaming in constellational energy. These things were nurtured for a long time. Somewhere in White Magic, or maybe it's in astrology, I think it's in White Magic though, he talks about the zodiacal signs as thought forms. That's not the constellations. Okay. In other words, they are receivers and transformers and... What's a transducer? Is it something that sends something through? Or doesn't it exist?
You can go from one level 220 to 110.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, our voltage is just a little less than theirs. What? You need that? Okay. Suzanne. Pulling out my antiferons here.
Could you get back to what you just said about the signs are not the constellations?
No. That would be like the fundamental difference between sidereal astrology and tropical astrology. Signs are really segments of the Earth's aura, and the constellations are energy sources. They are stellar energy sources. But we have to have here on our planet methods of receiving those sources. And so out of certain Vedic agencies which are localized, those agencies are attracting the energy of the constellational source and are holding it for the for our planet's use. And apparently the hierarchy has done a lot to further that and to build receptors into our planet. Build thought forms which are receptors of the constellational energy. I mean, I don't know all the details of it, but I just know that that was done in Atlantean times. That's what he says. And it's helping our planet receive and understand those constellational energies.
Yeah, and it, that's different than a planet, of course.
Yes, that's definitely, yes. A sign is a construct in upon our planet or in the aura of our planet, which is attuned to a constellation and brings in the constellational energy and is a holding a holding area for that energy and a transmitting area for that energy.
And it's not seen. We don't see it.
Well, I suppose if we had clairvoyant sight, we could see it.
And so a planet passes through. What's going on there?
A planet is not really passing through. Our the lunes, they call them lunes, L-U-N-E-S, there's 12 lunes, like 12 sections of an orange, are aligned with planets, and the planetary power is being transmitted through that Davidic substance and is reaching us accordingly. Alan Leo, in his book Esoteric Astrology, which is a very profound book, considering when it was written, 1917 or in that era, he came up with some amazing thoughts which prefigure the Tibetans' esoteric astrology. And one of them is to consider the signs of the zodiac as 12 lunes connected with the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. In other words, these lunes are part of the aura of the Earth, and they are actually substantial and geometrical and equal, according to Leo's view of it. Now, and I believe that the hierarchy is strengthening those and augmenting their power, so that the full power of a constellation, or as much as Earth can take, are going to be received and concentrated. As a matter of fact, let me, I don't want to digress.
You know, the famous sentence.
I really hesitate to do what I'm doing.
Yes.
That's me. I digress.
A word of power. I think it's a subsidiary of the third ray. Although the Tibetan, he's always undertaking digressions. Meaningful digressions. Look at this here. Here's what you want to read, I think. Well, okay, well, maybe not.
So while you're looking, my last one is constellations, I mean galaxies, being constellations.
Well, here is the italicized contrast. In the understanding of the significance of the distinction between constellations as galaxies of stars and signs as concentrated influences, will come fresh light upon the science of astrology. Page 621, ponder on this, but obviously the influences of the constellations are concentrated in the signs for use by the planet Earth. The entirety of what a constellation is absolutely not received on our planet. It can mean many things to many different solar systems and planets out there, but the specific type of use of a constellational energy for our planet is drawn together into a concentrated influence within the aura of our planet, and I think the hierarchy aids and abets this with their thought form making power. These are Davidic regions which are attuned to the constellation in question. And by the way, no more digression, the Sun is involved in this. The constellation, the Sun, the planet. Okay. Yes. And then actually once in the IANS, when we called it International Academy of Esoteric Astrology, IAEA, International Academy of Esoteric Astrology, some years ago, we had a detailed discussion upon the meaning of signs for a planet and the meaning of signs for a star. In other words, carrying this picture of lunes to the Sun itself and its relation to different constellations, which I thought was really a futuristic thought and one that we couldn't get into too far, but at least opened the door to certain considerations.
What is the word digression?
That was for your benefit.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to feel guilty.
I don't.
We forgive you.
Thank you. The guilt of the day has passed. But tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, you can suffer then.
Thank you. Some people have a talent for suffering. Actually, D.K. told Eugene Cosgrove that he had a rare ability to suffer. It was interesting. He was a sixth race soul who was becoming a second race soul, and he somehow was acutely aware of the contrasts in his nature. There's nothing like contrasts to, you know, unbridgeable contrasts to help you suffer. If you want to learn how to do this, please see me. All right. Just.
Oh, DK said I took to that note that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
No, the New Age says that.
Oh.
The New Age says that. DK doesn't say that. DK says suffering is obligatory. Page 384. Page 384 in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Everyone on this planet is going to, especially the little human units, obligatory suffering. Theirs is the task to suffer. I told you that just the other day, didn't I? You get to suffer. Good. Yes, the planet of purifying pain and releasing sorrow. But, okay, a secondary and less important thought is that as egos preparing to take human bodies are deeply engaged in meditation work, it is highly improbable that they can be reached by the ordinary medium in the ordinary seance. Why did he throw that in? But let's just say egos are very busy, and just like the masters are a whole lot less available than many well-meaning people think. And also the egos are not so available because they have work to do. You know, they have the do not disturb sign out there on the edge of the aura. But, you know, you can get through if it's really an emergency and if you are on the thread, as the story goes. And in a funny kind of way, you can be on the thread with respect to a master and you would be obliged only to use this thread during emergencies for the work and not for any personal distress. You know the story of Rudolf Steiner, who knew that there were assassins waiting for him at a train station. By the way, they didn't get him. Assassins waiting for him at a train station, but was under obligation not to use any of his psychic powers to negate that situation.
What did he do?
I have to read the rest of the story. I know that he didn't, it didn't happen. It just was the whole idea that he was not allowed to negate that karmic situation. I think something else negated it. Maybe it was a test for him.
Yeah, he just disregarded that psychic knowledge because he felt it would be improper to use it for
exactly. Exactly. So he had to kind of. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that day, the situation didn't happen.
Right, he wasn't killed.
He wasn't killed.
Something else in
the but he was important to the work. How can you not use your own psychic?
Well, I guess he was obeying the law, you know, somehow. Do not use psychic powers for your own personal benefit, even if it means the loss of your life. That's a pretty strong response, isn't it? Now, what I want to get to, in the same way that you are on the thread for your master, let's say, you know, at a certain point in around the third initiation, something like that, and you can get through to your master if you know how. So you are on the thread to your ego. You really are. You're on the thread. And that's just for everybody all the time. So usually, if someone earnestly gets on his knees and says, help, you get through. You know, the ego is waiting for such opportunities. And that's called repentance, or, you know, and many people, you know, they hit bottom and they finally say, help. And that's, you know, your cry has gone forth along the thread to your ego, and a response will come.
That's very true. From personal experience.
Yeah, I think we're all
supervised in that way, and we don't have a heartless deity associated with us. When we're ready to learn and we're sincere, you know, ask, seek, and knock, and the response comes, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are numerous sightings articles and articles about people who have been saved from a dire situation where an angel appears.
Mm-hmm.
The angels appear. People appear.
Right. We have friends the same way. But the same way, you know. They tell us, I don't want to digress here, but they tell us about this car accident they had, and then they showed us the picture so nothing could get out of there alive. And then there was kind of a moment of suspended animation as the car is rolling, and they are feeling this presence, and I don't know if a light is involved, and they emerge.
Yeah.
They emerge, and the car is a death trap. It wasn't their time, you know, and they were guarded.
I was just meeting there in that one group, a young woman who was 26 years old, and she told how she was climbing off from your, how do you call these cliffs? Californian cliffs, from high there, up there, and how much it is in yards or
meters, I don't know, it depends on where it is, but it can be
but
there.
But in there, where is this Esalen?
Esalen, oh my God.
Big sure.
300 feet.
So she's flying with her car, smashing on the rock. And her two friends saw her, and of course they all think that she died. She comes out from the smashed car.
That's pretty good. There's a future for this car.
So is that the guardian angel or the solar angel or what?
Guardian.
Mm.
As much of the solar angels can be embodied.
And she told that what she was thinking. She was just, because we all know that when you fly through the air so long time, you can think a few things. So she understands again, that's it. And she just says, thank you. Thank you, God.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm.
Well, now you know what to say.
That's one for that.
A very, very intelligent, evolved man who is teaching seminars. And a person in our first class went to a seminar in Hawaii. But that is his primary teaching. It's very much more detailed than that. But anything that happens to you in the life, all that you are allowed to say is, thank you, God. And
it
puts you in some kind of race, I think.
Yeah.
Well, the medieval mystics really worked on this.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what befell them, they responded with that gratitude, etc.
Can I just tell you one quick thing? I know a very famous actor who was starring and known and everything, and he was very depressed. He got divorced and just was fed up with life, tried to kill himself. He cut his wrist. First, he took pills. And a lot of pills, passed out, and some guy woke up in the hospital, was saved. The next time, he cut his wrist, woke up in the hospital, and was saved. The next time, he took the pills, cut his wrist, and drove off a high cliff. Woke up in the hospital, said, thank you, God, said, okay, God, that's it, I will live.
That's pretty good. That's great. It gives a whole new meaning to be saved. Okay. Nathan, I just want to, you know, I really would really like to finish this paragraph. Okay. So anyway, then we're going to take a break and come back with renewed concentration. At the most, only those who have passed over quite recently can be thus contacted. They are in most cases in a condition of deep abstraction of a different kind. He's kind of saying that, you know, what you get in the seance isn't necessarily what you think. There is no time or purpose in enlarging upon this theme, but it is of interest to those investigating these matters. Okay, so let's take our little break, and then we'll come back. It's 10 o'clock now. The condition of the waters, we'll get into this according to TW. Thank you.